This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
To wake on up, wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky. Yeah.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Let's go. Fired up, baby. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Yay!
Those of you just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school, whatever you're doing. It's a beautiful day here in the Bay Area. We're in downtown San Francisco. The sun is shining, and hopefully it's shining bright in Minnesota, because that's where the Warriors are right now, as they have game one of the Western Conference Semis starting tonight. Our coverage at 5:30 with Warriors Live. Thank you, Joe. And then 6:30, tip-off with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert. And again, we'll have all the post-game coverage as well. So your pre, your post, your pre, which I guess we would be right now, all right here on 95.7 The Game. Good morning to you, Joe Shasky. Good morning to Sam Lubman, Carter. I'm fired up. We're fired up. We're halfway home here on a Tuesday. And we got full phone lines, because you know what we're talking about? Heading into this segment, you know what we're talking about? Best player, right? It always comes down, that's the talking heads, right? Oh, who's the best player? Doesn't always mean best player wins the series.
It doesn't always mean the best player plays like the best player in a given series.
But if I just ask you right now, the best player in this series between the Minnesota Timberwolves and Golden State Warriors is who?
It's Steph Curry. Steph Curry right now. Now, you know, at the end of this series, we might have a different conversation after we see some things. But also, Steph's dealing with a finger injury, which is severely decreasing his efficiency. It has played into him being not as effective. And even then, I'm seeing this guy play a complete brand of basketball on both ends of the floor. I think his defense, if you go back and watch Game 7, his defense, it wasn't just good. It was outstanding. On ball, off ball, rebounding, loose balls, deflections, timing up blocks. He was outstanding. Boxing out. He's playing at a level which sounds absurd. He's playing a level of basketball on both ends of the floor that is as good as any brand of basketball he's ever played. Even better on both ends right now, in my estimation, coming off that Game 7, than anything he did in the unanimous MVP season. I'm dead serious. Wow. I have watched back Game 7 3 times. I want you to isolate Steph Curry on defense. They don't win that game without his boxing out, his hustle, his on-ball defense, his unbelievable help defense, him jumping into the lanes, loose balls. He was outstanding.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. Pedler, Rainforest, Charles, John, Giovanni. We'll get to you all in just a second. We're talking about best player in this series. Shasky believes it is Stephen Curry, who his legacy is cemented. One of the greatest players in history of the sport, greatest shooter in the history of the sport, four-time champion. No one could ever take that away from him. But the time is now. It's May 6th, 2025. And Anthony Edwards, I believe, is the best player in this series. I believe he is the guy that has the chance to be greater every single game than any other player in this series. Age is a factor of it. Like, this is going to come down to me, is who could be great, not just one or two games, but consistently great overall. And not just one player, but it always goes into the role players. Can you get a Buddy Hield game or two? Can you get a Pods game or two? And juxtapose that with what the Minnesota's trying to do. Can I get a DiVincenzo game? Can I get a Naz Reid game? It's going to come down to that, obviously. But it is interesting to talk about and take a step back just from a player perspective overall. And it's insane that we're even talking about it because he is 37. And I'm not laughing at you for saying that. He's 37 and one of the greatest players in this sport, and he's still doing it, which is crazy. And Anthony Edwards is trying to say, no. I'm trying to be, you know what we used to call a Kawhi Leonard, the legend killer, mm-hmm. right? We used to, like, that's the nickname he got. That's what Anthony Edwards is trying to be. He's trying to go at LeBron in the first round in the Lakers, and he's trying to go at Stephen Curry in the Golden State Warriors in the second round. That's what he's trying to do.
I think where Steph's at in his career, he deserves the benefit of the doubt. Let me give you an example, okay? Everybody likes to reference Kobe's last playoff game. He was 33 years old. Do you know who was against?
Yeah, the Thunder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know who was second in MVP voting that year? Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He was 23 years old.
Yeah.
He averaged 28 in that series. But heading into that series, Kobe Bryant was the better player.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, when that series was all said and done, did we have different conversations?
Passing of the torch, probably.
Yeah, sure. But even then, it was like, all right, we're a little premature here. And even now, as we look at it, like even now, Durant might have been at a height of his superpowers at a different point in his career. Was he better than Kobe back then?
Probably not. Probably not.
So that's how absurd it would have sounded to any Laker fan if they were receiving the news, Kevin Durant's the better player than Kobe Bryant in this series. No, you might beat us. You might be better. You know, when it's all said and done, you might play better in this series. Kobe's the better player. That's the way I feel about Steph right now. Steph is at the height of his powers. Like, Steph can do no wrong. He deserves the benefit of the doubt. Now, he has to go out and play like it?
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards one day may be better than Steph Curry. As Steph starts to diminish, Ant's powers rise. Like, we might be reaching that point at some point. Heck, I might even have that conversation coming out of this series. But right now, today, I am not relinquishing that Steph is not. Like, he is the best player in this series.
I'm taking Anthony Edwards in the series. Joe Shasky's taking Stephen Curry. Who are you taking? 888-957-9570. Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Charles in the town, Oakland, baby.
What's up, Charles?
Good morning. You're on the morning roast. Who's the best player in this series?
Good morning, fellas. I'm sorry. I got to disagree with you. I got to disagree with you. But it's Steph Curry. And I'll make my points real quick. So I've heard throughout his whole career, this player is better than him. This player is better than him. Just the last time they won the championship, the best player in the series was Jokic. Whooped him. Best player in the series was Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Whooped him.
Luka.
Best player in the series was Luka Doncic. Whooped him. And even when Kevin Durant played for the Warriors, I'm over here arguing because I'm a Spurs fan, to be honest, but I'm arguing with the Warriors fans. They're like, Kevin Durant's the best player on our team. What's Kevin Durant done since he left Steph Curry? What did he do before he came?
Great.
What did he do before he came to Steph Curry? Even LeBron. I'm going to go at LeBron a little bit, even though I think LeBron's great. LeBron's equal to Steph Curry. Four championships. Steph done got over on him more than he done got over. So my point is that I've been hearing this narrative, and I know Ant's a monster. I give that to you. There's no doubt about that.
Facts.
He's coming. It's about to be over for people. But this, but to say he's better than Steph Curry, I got to see it first. I'm not going to just be like, oh, he whooped L.A. He's better than Steph Curry. You got to show me, because I've heard that narrative for years, and every time Steph Curry's on the podium with glasses talking about I'm a winner. That's the way I look at it.
Mic drop. I love that. What a great call.
I love the sweater that he was wearing. What color was that?
I don't know. Beige?
It was something. It was intense, whatever it was. I loved every second of it. He looked so swagalicious. And I loved him. You know, that win against the Rockets for Steph had to have just felt so damn good because they were just hounding him. the entire time. And I did love the respect factor of him giving Amen Thompson the hug after, saying, like, dude, like, you were amazing. It was great. Just great respect and sportsmanship at the end of the day. Again, respect and sportsmanship, I think, has been lost largely when we come to talk about all this stuff. But that was nice to see. A little passing the torch there, too.
McDaniel's a great defender.
Yes.
Okay, but it's very, like, odd to say Steph's might have a little easier time in this series.
Yes.
Because how many defenders are you taking ahead of Amen Thompson after watching seven games of it?
Not a lot. Not a lot, right? Like, that shows you how good that Rockets defense is. I thought they were the best defense overall. I know a lot of people look at, you know, the Celtics or, you know, the Thunder. Like, I don't care. You show me any advanced metric you want. I think that was the best playoff defense they are going to see.
What if I threw this at you?
Please.
Now, if Anthony Edwards wants to, with 6 minutes to go in every single one of these games, mark up Steph Curry 90 feet every single possession, now we're going to have a different conversation. If they come out on top, he's the best offensive player, and he shuts him down defensively, oh, yeah, like, we can have that conversation. But heading into it, I'm sorry, I'm not relinquishing it yet.
You're not. Let's go to Rainforest in Oakland, wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. And again, Anthony Slater going to be joining us here in about 18 minutes to preview this series and preview game one tonight in Minnesota. Rainforest, who's the best player in this series?
Curry, for sure. And I can sum it up for you guys with one question. Would you rather be a Golden State fan or player and have a Stephen Curry-led team and go into Minnesota, or be a Minnesota fan or player and go to Golden State with an Anthony, with an Ant-Man-led team? I'm taking Curry all day, and I think the general population is as well.
I like that.
Fair enough.
Thought process there.
Okay. All right. 888-957-9570. I do think a majority of people, again, we're on our own, our bubble here. We are in Warriors country. We are the home of Golden State Warriors basketball. I understand I am up fighting an uphill battle today with this take, and that's okay. I don't mind. You can call me a hater. You can call me a wet blanket. I don't care. Just because I think Anthony Edwards is the best player in the series doesn't mean that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to win said series. It does not mean that. He might not even play.
Is he a better free throw shooter?
Is he a better free throw shooter? Probably not.
Okay, is he a better three-point shooter?
No, but
is he a better ball handler?
Well, actually, hold on. What is Steph shooting from beyond the arc this playoff series? I don't know.
Better than 32%, I bet.
But it doesn't feel like that.
Again,
like,
who you taking?
I think a lot of that also.
Steph could be 0-1,000. I'm taking Steph.
That's fine. Who's the better rebounder?
Steph just had 10 rebounds in that final game.
Who's the better rebounder?
Steph is such an underrated good rebounder. It's unbelievable. I bet it's closer than we want to give credit for. We, in our minds, oh, yeah, Anthony Edwards all day. Steph rebounds really well.
Okay, but who's the better? Oh, fine. Who's the better defender? Anthony Edwards is a better defender.
I think we're underrating Steph.
Okay. I hear you on some stuff when it comes to the shooting and the offense. Anthony Edwards is a good defender. He's a better two-way player now.
I think you're underrating how prolific Steph is offensively.
I think you're underrating dramatically how good Anthony Edwards is now.
He's great.
He's in his prime. He's 23 years old.
Joe, get me right. He's great. Steph is all-time great. There are levels. Anthony Edwards is great. I want to make that clear. He is great. Steph Curry is one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball in the history of the game. That's the difference between the two. He is great. No one debates how great he is. Steph Curry is going down as one of the top 10 players to ever touch a basketball in the NBA.
Yes.
We're talking about rarefied air. So, like, I want to make it very clear. No one thinks that Anthony Edwards is a scrub. No one thinks. If you think that, you're at the kiddie table. We're at the adult table. And to go from great to all-time great? Come on. There are many levels to this. There have been how many brilliant coaches and how many unbelievable schemes and how many unbelievable individual and team defenses that Steph Curry has had to go up against, not just for 5 years, not just for 10, for 15 years. And we saw a guy in the second half explode on a team that we thought had his number.
I'm just saying, I hear you on all of that. I said the same exact thing that you're saying about Steph in that Lakers series when the T-Wolves are going up against him. And I know a lot of us weren't as locked in on there because we were locked in our own stuff going on in our own backyard. That was the Rockets and the Warriors. But in that other series that was happening, LeBron James at 40 still looked incredible at times. And he was playing at a very high level on both ends of the floor. The biggest moments of that series, though, Anthony Edwards was making the plays. He was the guy on the end.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The winning basketball plays when they needed to be made, when the game needed to be taken over in those crucial moments, it was Anthony Edwards doing it, not LeBron, not Luka. It was him. So I saw it. So as much as respect you're giving to Stephen Curry, rightfully so, I was doing the same thing with LeBron, and it didn't matter because Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, was that guy. He was that dude. I think it comes down to who has a chance to be more consistently great on any given night in this series. I do think it's Anthony Edwards, and I think age matters in that. I do. Like, if I was to tell you that Anthony Edwards had a great game one and two, and Steph just had one great game in between those, I think that would be pretty reasonable. And you would hope that the one great game is the one that you won. And that doesn't mean that Steph's any less of a player, but I think we just saw it in the last series. Steph wasn't consistently great throughout that entire... He had some stinkers. Let's call it what it is. He had a stinker.
But a stinker for Steph Curry is a good game for all these other guys. That is the difference. Sure. That is the difference.
But we're going on the greatness scale, so it's like, a little different.
Let's talk about the first half, Game 7. Steph sucked. Did he? He had like 7 assists, 7 rebounds, and some steals. Did he suck? Did he? Because he was opening up the floor for Buddy Hield. Did he suck? How many hockey assists? Like, see, this is where there's more to the game than just scoring points.
I never said he sucked, by the way.
No, I'm just saying the general consensus. Like, Steph was terrible. Actually, I thought he was brilliant in the first half. Now, he stepped up his scoring in the second half, and he was unbelievable, and that's what's going to stick in our memory banks forever. I thought he was brilliant. I thought his floor game was brilliant in the first half.
Giovanni is in San Jose, wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. We're talking best player in this series is who? Giovanni, who's the best player in the series?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I just want to start off by saying Anthony Edwards is a monster. Okay, let's get that right.
Agreed.
But Steph Curry, when you think about the greats, it's Steph Curry, man. Steph Curry's up there. He's a winner. He's proved himself. And thinking about who's harder to guard, dude, teams are scrambling to try and guard Steph Curry. They're wiping an entire game plan that they go with all season on defense to guard Steph Curry. Anthony Edwards, he's inconsistent, man. He'll give you 19 one game and 43 the next. So I feel like the best player in the series is Steph Curry. You got to triple team him and stuff. With Ant, I feel like with Moody, Pods, I think we can hold him for a few games, and I think we're going to have a more problem with Julius Randle, to be honest. Thank God for taking that.
That's a good X factor right there. We can get into X factors a little bit later on the show, 888-957-9570, because I do believe Julius Randle, just from a size perspective, presents a lot of problems for the Golden State Warriors. He's just a big person and a big man.
No doubt.
And he can get a shot. Like, if his mid is going, his mid-range game's going, and he's knocking down some three-point shots, yeah, that's a huge problem for the Golden State Warriors. Because I don't think, like Jimmy Butler's really good. Can he keep up with him for his seven-game series, if it even goes to 7 games? I don't know. That's a big and tall task to do. And I do think overall, and that's why this series is so much more unique than that Rockets series, because the Rockets were really a one-sided team. If they got any offense from a couple players, it's like, oh, wow, they can win. But they just couldn't do it enough consistently. I do believe the Timberwolves, 4 games, can't get enough offense to win this series. They can do that. I never really believed the Rockets could do that. I know it sounds insane because, well, man, Spadoni, it was a couple-point game there from them winning that series. I know. I still didn't believe that they had enough offense in total to win four games. I know Minnesota does because I trust some of their big boys late. Now, that trust factor of Julius Randle, we got to see it. We absolutely got to see it. And I'm sure it felt good for Julius Randle. It is a different matchup.
It's a very different matchup. Like I thought that the Rocket series was all about, like, and I said to you guys, first to 100. And almost every single game that played out, this one, oh, this is going to be totally different.
Totally different.
Totally different. This one, there's a combination. This could, from game to game, I could see a defensive slugfest one game. I could see an offensive explosion game in the other one. I'm very interested to see how many of these games does Gobert close the game on the floor.
Right.
Whether it be foul trouble or literally ineffectiveness and having to take him off. I don't know the answer.
We're going to do the hack of Gobert, right? Are we going to throw him the line like we're doing Steven Adams at times?
Julius Randle is a big unknown for me. If he doesn't hit threes, okay, and maybe he's not facilitating for others, is he ball hawk mode?
Yeah.
Where the Warriors like, you know, you get whatever you want, but we're not going to let anyone else go off. Or is it, hey, we're going to shut Ant-Man down and we don't care about anyone else scoring. I don't know.
888-957-9570. Who was the best player in this series? We asked Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider and friend of the station, last segment, and this is what he had to say.
Ant Edwards is awesome. His time is coming. It may be here right now, and that will probably be, as far as storylines of this series, is a little bit of a torch pass possibility if he comes out and just dominates. But as we start this series, if you ask me which guy would I want more right now for this series, give me Steph Curry. Ant Edwards is the guy you'd want to build around. He's the guy that so many people in the league would take right now over anybody because of his age, his talent, the ability to continue to get better and better. Right now, in this moment, give me Steph.
And that was Nick Friedell, who joined us last segment. If you missed any of that interview, it was really good. Nick he's so tapped in on Jimmy Butler on this series on Minnesota. He covered that team. He covered that player at a very high level. Hell, he talked to him about when Jimmy Butler first got drafted as a Chicago Bull. The Bulls didn't even talk to him on the phone yet. It was ESPN 1000 or whatever it was over in Chicago where Nick was a part of. And he was on the phone with him and he was crying and he was in tears. Like, great stuff there. So find it on YouTube or on the Free Odyssey app. Nick Friedell was tremendous.
Does the best player in the series mean you should win the series?
No. I think if you ask the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers, both fan bases, who was the best player in that series? I think most of them say Giannis.
Yeah, Giannis.
Did it matter?
Yeah.
They ended them in five games. But it doesn't matter always. Yeah. Like, some people will even say that, and I came away thinking this, but some people might have said, I thought LeBron was the best player in that Lakers series, and they didn't win it. He was incredible. Because he was probably more consistent than all those other guys.
I thought they attacked the hell out of him on defense.
They did. And they did. And they made him work for it. And I think that's what they're going to try to do tonight against Stephen Curry. They're going to try to isolate him one-on-one and try to maybe get him matched up on Anthony Edwards and try to find his spots, right?
Well, that's what the Rockets try to do the entire series. Yeah. And I think as the games went on, he got more and more stout and he understood what these guys' tendencies were. And again, I implore anyone to rewatch that second half. It was maybe the finest defensive moment of just overall of Steph Curry's career. I'm dead serious. He was that good.
Let's go to Verducci in the El Dorado Hills. Wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. Verducci. Who's got the best player in this series between the T-Wolves and the Warriors?
Yeah, if you're asking me, I mean, I think overall, obviously, we'd all say Curry. But for me, this series right now, I'm taking Jimmy Butler. It's in Minnesota. I mean, come on. I mean, just think about all the storylines, the history that he's had there. So for me, it's Jimmy Butler. But for you all in Dub Nation, I have a little something for you, a little slam poetry I wanted to tell you last night, or yesterday, I should say, coming out of Game 7 in Minnesota. So hear me out here. Yo, they said we was done, said Game 6 was a eulogy. The dynasty dust, but the thing about fire, it don't die, it learns to burn different. And us, we burn with intention. Watch, take, took notes, check egos at the door like the real ones do. Because when you raise in the Bay, you know pressure makes diamonds or cracks, but never both. Buddy Hield, man, went from a role player to a revelation.
clutch like he was baptized in Bugs Abutis. Every shot spoke louder than the doubters. That MVP chant for this game ain't hype. It's homework paid in full. Jimmy Buckets, no lie, it's just ascension. Mid-range killer with that ice grill grin. He don't flinch, he finishes. He ain't built for the moment, he builds the moment. And when it's all on the line, he laces them tighter. Draymond, our general, our glue, our certified chaos coordinator. When they ran plays, he played minds. When they chased highlights, he wrote endings. DPOY ain't a trophy. It's a true tattoo to every stop, every switch, every soul he snaps on defense. And then Steph, oh my gosh, the one, the myth who needs no myth. Chef in the lab cooking soul food for entire cities. Step back, turn, ball still in the air, and he's halfway down the court saying night-night to Houston, soft as a whisper, loud as a legacy. Say game six, we wore that shame. Didn't hide it, we sat in it, studied it, made it feel, then served it up game seven style like, yeah, that pain comes season now. We ain't just a team, we a testament to culture, to growth, to owning your story even when it's messy. So now it's off to Minnesota. New chapter, same mission. But before I dip, yo, Spadoni Shafty, wake the Bay up with this heat. This ain't just post-game bars. This is prophecy on repeat. They laughed, they talked, they counted us out. Now they got to count these dubs and count us in. This road, it's paved with grit, lined with banners, lit by belief. This ain't a comeback. It's a continuation. We ain't chasing rings. We reclaiming royalty. So tell them all, Dub Nation just checked into Minnesota. And this is a road to another championship. Mic drop, I'm out. Let's go, dubs.
Woo!
Oh, heck yes.
That was Bertucci.
Guys, hit him with the jam. Come on.
That was Abe. The jam was fired up. Hey, I love the passion. Where do you think he comes up with that?
I don't know.
He's sitting on the toilet and just like he's on his like notes app and just on his phone. I was thinking about that the whole time. I was like, where do you have time for this? He's about to be a father too soon. So congratulations to Verducci. Where do you come up with? Like the time is going to be very valuable for him.
He
in
had
the future.
Some bars in there.
He did. He
there was one
did.
That was like the road was like, I don't even know, paved with dynasties. I don't even.
It was a lot. It was
grit. It was grit. Yeah, the road was paved with grit, lit by dynasties. I was.
Well,
was
and like DPOIs are like tattooed on you or something like that. That was good.
I'm
going
to need some time to dissect that.
Digest it, if you will. John in LA, Josh in the 580. We'll get to you before we get to Slater on the other side. 888-957-9570. Woo! Anthony Slater going to be joining us next. Our Warriors Insider for 95.7 The Game and also The Athletic. We're talking best player in this series is who? Verducci actually had a good one. He said Jimmy Butler. I think I've seen a couple of those on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line as well. Jimmy Buckets. I'm not mad at that as well. Two-way player. I think he has the argument. Absolutely. I still think Anthony Edwards is my guy. Shasky's taking Stephen Curry. We'll get to Anthony Slater on the other side, though. And it's going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. Of all the game ones, they've already taken place. And it's between the Minnesota Timberwolves, Golden State Warriors, 5:30, Warriors Live, right here on 95.7 The Game, 6:30 tip. And then after the game, be joining Mark Grandy. He'll take your calls or text, either talking about the Warriors win or loss. Either way, we will be breaking it all down. We'll be joined by Anthony Slater here in just a second, our Warriors insider. But something or nothing, Joe, all three road teams have won so far in game one. Whether it's the Pacers, and then yesterday, you had the Knicks winning in Boston, and then Nuggets in OKC. Good trend for the Warriors tonight? Something? Nothing?
I don't think it has a bearing per se. I don't think Minnesota's more locked in because of the other games or the results. You know, these guys are in their own worlds. They're all professionals. You know, so I don't think they need extra motivation or, you know, attentiveness because of the score of another game. Now, would I have preferred the law of averages of just, you know, stepping back and maybe like some home team winning so that, yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Right. Anthony Slater is joining us on the River Islands guest line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Anthony, good morning. Are you in Minnesota currently?
Yes, I'm in the it's a nice setup where it's like the Target Center where the Warriors are shooting around this morning in probably about an hour they open. And then across the street is the Wolves facility, and the Wolves are opening in about 15 minutes, literally right when I got off the phone with y'all. And I can go hit both shoot-arounds because they're across the street from each other.
There you go. I'm shocked you're not at the Mall of America. That place is sweet. They got it's like thousands and thousands of different stores. They have a
that's
roller
far
coaster.
Away, though.
They have a roller
that's
coaster
past,
in
that's
there.
Past the air. Yeah, well, I can't make the venture out there. That's like out towards the airport.
No, I've always heard it's a very underrated Minneapolis St. Paul. That whole city vibe there is very underrated. Although the last season of Love is Blind there stunk. Yeah, continue.
It did, by the way. Yeah. My wife made me watch that one. Yeah. It did. But this is the first time I feel like the average temperature when I've been in the city has been like 2 degrees. The high previously to this trip has been like 20. It's always January or February when I'm here. So it's nice to get, this is the first time in this dynasty era they've had a playoff series here. It's like 75 degrees. I'm probably going to do a Twins game Wednesday night. So Twins Orioles. So I'm excited to explore the city while it's actually warm.
Maybe because red hot Buddy Hield touchdown. Am I right, Anthony? And that was a horrible joke. I'm sorry. But no, seriously, Buddy Hield, that game, game seven, since we've talked to you, we haven't really had a chance to react to that. Obviously, we'll get into this. But that game and all the game seven nonsense, oh, they're going to win, are they not going to win? Just the fatigue factor with this team after that grueling pound of flesh taken from them and the Rockets, and tip your caps to them, right? Just an incredible performance from some of these young guys, but ultimately the experience factor was just too much for them to overcome, I believe, in that series. And now it's a quick turnaround. What's the fatigue factor tonight, and how is it going to play into this game in game one in Minneapolis tonight at 6:30 local time here?
Yeah, we'll see. We will see tonight. I didn't look too bad for the Nuggets last night. My read, and from what I'm hearing, it's not going to be like a heavy minutes type game. I think Steve Kerr is going to be a lot more careful with, you know, I wouldn't expect like 41, 42 minutes for some of the main guys. Well, give me 1 second. Yeah, it's upstairs. It's upstairs. Sorry, I'm in the facility. I'm trying to direct media people.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah. But the one thing I'd say to me, like a lot of people want to talk fatigue, and obviously that will be a factor. Minnesota's more rested. I think it's the prep is a bigger issue. You know, they've barely been able to talk about the Wolves. I think they're kind of like installing right now at shoot around. Whereas if you think about the last series, they have like 3 days, 4 days prior, they were installing their game plan against the Rockets, and they spent like practices and days absorbing it and, you know, kind of drilling it. Well, they're just basically talking about the Wolves for the first time now. And obviously Minnesota didn't necessarily know their matchup, but I can guarantee you Chris Finch was watching that Rocket series, looking at the Ime Udoka zone, you know, looking at, oh, wow, all right, Fred VanVleet's guarding Draymond Green. That's an interesting concept. And we'll probably use some of the stuff that the Rockets did well and probably avoid some of the stuff that the Rockets didn't do well. And that, to me, is the bigger advantage for Minnesota, just more time to, like, think about the series.
Well, obviously closing is extremely important, but it does feel like for the Warriors, the whole Rockets series, the first quarter was just, it was painstaking almost. And you can kind of get a feel for what Warrior team you were getting that night based on just what it looked like in the first quarter. So let's break down the first quarter. Are they going to start Steph, Pods, Buddy, Butler, and Dre?
I don't know. It's a good question. You know, Steve's keeping it pretty close to the vest. That would seem to be, especially because of the lack of prep time, you know, maybe you just roll with what worked. Clearly worked in Game 7. You mentioned it. Buddy Hield's really hot right now. So you probably go with that with, you know, various subs. I do think it's going to be, like I was saying, a wider rotation. I think this is more a feel-out game for the Warriors. Try maybe a bunch of guys, a bunch of lineup combinations, not overplay your veterans. So it may not matter, like, necessarily who's starting game one, because I think he's going to try a bunch of stuff. I'm more curious who might be starting game two after they see this matchup on the floor a little bit.
Yeah, you know, GP2, hopefully he'll be back. We don't know. Yeah. Moses Moody, who knows where he's at? Like, I'm with you. I think there are going to be a lot of combinations that are going to play right now just to see what's working and what's not, and to also give some of the older guys a blow. Using that rhetoric, and you kind of alluded to it. I talked about him in the first hour. Let's say Anthony Edwards is guarding Buddy Hield. Let's say Conley's guarding Pods. Steph would have McDaniels on him. I'm assuming Randall on Butler. You go with that bigger body, kind of like what Miami did against Butler. That would have Gobert on Draymond, and he would sag off him so that he could be the help defender. Do you think that's the route they go with Gobert, if the starting lineup stays the same? Or do you think that he plays on one of those other guys and they put Connolly, the smaller defender, like Houston did, on Draymond?
Yeah, I kind of think they might do what Houston did, and maybe it's not right away, but the main reason you do that, you know, it sounds great to say, hey, just sag off Draymond, but then Draymond just does a DHO with Steph Curry, and he's curling off, and he's wipeout screening whoever's guarding Steph, and Rudy Gobert's 8 feet away, and Steph just curls into a three, right? That's the DHO game that, that Draymond and even Looney have mastered over the years to kill teams that put, you know, their bigs on them and have them sag off. So that's why Houston put Van Vliet, because Van Vliet is quick. He can press up a little bit, and you just don't want Van Vliet in the screening action. You're not trying to get Van Vliet switched on to Steph necessarily. So, something like a DiVincenzo on Draymond at times in this series. Conley, he's still he's more of a target than Van Vliet, right? Van Vliet, they were calling him basically like a fire hydrant in that last series. Like, he's sturdy, and he's into you defensively. He's got great hands. You see him strip Jimmy Butler in the post. I'm not sure many, guards are stripping Jimmy Butler in the post. So that's the one thing I would say about this matchup. Minnesota's got a lot of length. They got McDaniels, who I'm sure is going to get a lot of the Steph assignment. But Houston, to me, has better defensive personnel, throughout the rotation that maybe bothers them more. But, back to your original question, I think the Warriors wouldn't mind if Gobert's on Draymond, because, I think you would see them – attack, like a lot of high Steph Curry pick and rolls, right, with Draymond Green. That's what Steve Kerr said frustrated Draymond about the last series. They couldn't run the Steph Draymond pick and rolls. They almost had to plant him in the corner. And I think if you put Gobert on him, you bring Draymond back into the action.
It's interesting. Okay. They haven't played him in months. I mean, the Warriors are a completely different team. So there are some things that you can carry over, and then there's a lot of stuff you can't. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's the big one. J.K.'s health and where he's at with the team versus where he was earlier. And Quentin Post. Of the new factors, obviously Jimmy's going to be a big one. Where do all these pieces fit into how this is a different matchup in the playoffs versus the regular season?
Well, the Jimmy Butler storyline is going to add some spice to this. Like, this fan base, does not like him. Because of how it went down in his brief tenure here. And I don't know that necessarily impacts the game, but it's interesting. And I think Jimmy's going to be fired up, for this game. And he's just better than the options they had previously. Although, you guys remember Wiggins was always good against Minnesota, right? he liked playing his former team. But those matchups, I remember one where they had no power forwards. They started Gui Santos at power forward because Draymond was out, Kuminga was out, Kyle Anderson was out, and they still beat the Wolves. The one thing I would say, though, about those matchups, Warriors going 3-1, Minnesota completely turned their season around really at the same time the Warriors did. I think they went 17-4 down the stretch. They were obviously great in the first round. So it's just kind of a different, more locked in team. But you mentioned Quentin Post. I'm curious to see him in the series because theoretically he could really help you again as a stretch five, as he did plenty in the last couple months, but he kind of got played off the floor a little in that Houston series. I think you try him early. You try almost everybody early in this series. But you just wonder where his head's at after, what happened late in the Houston series.
Talking with Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider, and covers the team for The Athletic. He is in Minnesota right now. He's going to be covering this series. And, you touch on it a little bit, but just comparing and contrasting, if you will, Anthony, what the Rockets and their challenges presenting to the Warriors, and what now the Minnesota Timberwolves will do to try to exploit some of their, weaknesses, if you will. So just offensive and defensively, the different challenges compared from what the Rockets did and what the Minnesota Timberwolves will now try to do.
I think the main one is Anthony Edwards versus Jalen Green. This is a far different perimeter star scorer that you're facing, right? They didn't feel like they had to double Jalen Green. They were fine. I remember even in game one, the Rockets tried to attack Steph Curry with Jalen Green on switches, and the Warriors were like, fine, go ahead. And Steph Curry stopped them multiple times, and Ime Udoka had to go away from that. Besides his 38-point game in the first round, Jalen Green was in single digits in five of the next six, didn't do much at all. You have to scheme up very different from Anthony Edwards. This is just a better offense because you have just a true star scorer to deal with. And the Warriors, Houston's defense, I think Houston's defense is going to be was harder for the Warriors to score on than Minnesota's will be, but Minnesota's going to be way tougher to stop. The Warriors held the Rockets to 89 points in game 7, 85 points in game 1. You even had Draymond and Steph talking post game that they're like, hey, just hold them under 90 and we're fine. I'm not sure you can say that about Minnesota, mostly because of Edwards, but also, Naz Reid can get super hot from 3. Dante DiVincenzo can get hot from 3. Julius Randle's playing some of the best basketball of his career. He's shooting over 40% from 3. There's just so much better, in my opinion, offensive personnel that's going to test what has been a really good, tied in, locked in Warriors defense. And to me, the biggest part of that is just Anthony Edwards. Like, that is just something completely different for them to deal with.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And he's a superstar. I mean, that's what he is. And he's amazing. There's no doubt about it. And I know that the Warriors are dealing with certain injuries. They'll never talk about it. Jimmy, obviously, at times can look compromised. Steph, the thumb, I'm assuming those guys are all good. Any update on GP2? Because I want to get into this article that you wrote, but just like a health bill, what's the deal with the Warriors? Who's available? Who might not be available?
Yeah, Gary Payton's the only one that might not. He's questionable. He was really sick day of Game 7. They said he flew on the plane yesterday with like a mask in the back. They're shooting around right now. We should probably have a better answer on that when we go out to the court, like I said, in about an hour. Okay. Look, Steph's going to have the thumb wrapped. It is what it is. He's not using it as an excuse. I honestly, even privately, he's like kind of shoo-shooing that away. Like, look, like it doesn't look great, but he's shooting fine. You know, I don't think that's that much of a concern. Honestly, Butler to me is looking better each game. You know, physically moving a little bit better. So I think it's about at the point that tailbone injury in a regular season would have been fine enough for him to play. So I think they're actually entering this series relatively fine, from a health situation. We'll see fatigue wise because it's going to be every other day, but I don't worry too much about that factor right now.
I love it. No, I love that. Now, I read an article in The Athletic that you had. I don't know if it posted this morning or late last night, but I read it, and it was a deep dive on, like, hey, the Jimmy Butler angle, the Andrew Wiggins angle, how he was a player on Minnesota, traded to the Warriors because of the D'Angelo Russell acquisition during Kevin Durant leaving. Obviously, there's a Dante DiVincenzo angle. But it was the Anthony Edwards draft in 2020, and it was James Wiseman. And you had put in there that, like, hey, there were sources, and I'm paraphrasing here, saying that it wasn't just Joe Lacob. It was Bob Myers. It was Steve Kerr and the veterans all co-signing on them going after James Wiseman. And I don't want to dispute that at all. I think it's pretty set in stone. And I feel like the owners probably got a disproportionate amount of the blame and maybe even Bob Myers on that. I want to know what the lesson learned was throughout that scenario for the organization, because it does feel like their draft philosophy has been altered a little, and maybe that's just the difference between Dunleavy and Bob Myers. But what do you think the organization learned over that couple-year stretch during the draft that has kind of changed in these last few years?
Yeah, well, I think first there was the tantalizing aspect of getting a 7-footer who could stretch the floor and protect the rim, and that it was something that they've been lacking, and it was going away from what they had done previously, but in a way at the time, considering, they were refreshing at the time completely. They just had the worst record in the league. The idea then was to go get something different, to kind of get this next wave of Warriors athleticism and, having a center of the future. And considering what they thought Wiseman was going to be, and I'm not just talking about Joe Lacob, there was, you can go back and find quotes of Draymond Green talking about, like, this guy's going to be the future, or Steve Kerr mentioning David Robinson, right? They thought he was going to be something he wasn't. Now, as far as, like, what they maybe learned from the miss, I think that
from the process,
well, that was a COVID year. I think maybe what Mike Dunleavy has done different is he's drafted more Warriors-type players, leaned into what they do well, right? The IQ stuff, the feel stuff that they like to say, connectivity-type players, passers, playmakers, less raw talents, we could say. That's, to me, what they've gone against. But I think, look, the 2022 title shocked everybody, internally and externally, like, in a lot of ways. And at the time, they were drafting for long-term potential, home run-type prospects because they thought they were rebuilding. And then suddenly they weren't. And that's part of why I think they shifted their draft philosophy again, because it was like they were once again trying to supplement the Steph Curry era, where in a lot of ways it seemed like at the time, 2020, 2021, they were shifting towards the future.
Talking to Anthony Slater here on the Morning Roast, Spadoni and Chasky with you, previewing Game 1 tonight between the Minnesota Timberwolves and Golden State Warriors. Coverage that starts at 5:30 and tip off 6:30 right here on 95.7 The Game. All right, Anthony. I don't know if this is a trend to pay attention to or not, but it is. I'm going to bring it up. Trend may be strong, but it's happened. All three road teams, other than the Warriors, haven't played tonight, have won game one. And obviously, most of them didn't have, I think only the Nuggets, right? Nuggets, what, ended Saturday, so they had a couple more days than the Warriors. No, it'd be the same.
It was the same
what the Warriors were dealing with, right? Okay, so thank you. Shout out math. So is this the game the Warriors should be focused on to try to steal game one and try to get home court back to Chase Center? Or is that too much of a task given the age of their big three? Or do you say you go all in if it's like a 10-point game? I don't know. Like, I'm just curious to see if they view this game the way like they viewed game five or something. Because it did feel like to me, last series, game five, they felt like in the first couple minutes, like they're up 3-1. We don't have it. And then the Rockets just took over, and it was a blowout ever since. I'm not saying that's going to happen tonight, yeah. But if it feels like it could happen, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think you want to not punt it completely. Like I said, I expect minute totals to be lessened under the 40s for the main guys. I think it'll be a little bit more of an experimental game. I think even if you lose the game tonight, you need to get some answers on this matchup. You know, you need to find out what type of players work, what type of players don't, like a strategies Chris Finch is using. They figured out pretty early in the last series, hey, they're putting Sengun on Moses Moody. They got to figure out how to get Sengun off Moses Moody. Okay, put Buddy Hield in the starting lineup. And I know that was a criticized move at times, but it probably won them the series in a lot of ways, you know, kind of getting Buddy Hield. And they figured that out early in the series. So even if you lose tonight, figure some of the stuff out that Minnesota's doing. And to do that, you have to play hard. You have to play focused. You have to put some of your game plan and your lineups out there that you want to test. As far as, like, can they win? Yes, it's sports. I think they're at a disadvantage. If you were to say which of the first two games are they more likely to win, I'd say game two. I think they'd load up more for game two. But as last night once again proved, like, sometimes we overrate or over talk about the, you know, rest, this, that, like it's going to be two teams on the floor in a charged up environment tonight. And the Warriors are very capable of winning this game. I'm not favoring them. I wouldn't pick them tonight because of some of the issues that they're dealing with, but they could win the game.
All right. Two-parter here for you, because this is what we've been talking about for most of the morning. It's the sports talk radio aspect, of course, but we love talking about it. The national media, everyone. Who do you think of these teams has the best player, the best individual player overall, and who do you think is the better team from top to bottom heading into tonight?
Steph's still Steph. I trust him a bunch in the playoffs. I mean, this is clearly Anthony Edwards' playoffs right now to, like, kind of make his claim on where he's going in the league. And if he just romps through the series, he'll have taken out LeBron, Luka, and then taken out Steph and Jimmy Butler. So things are trending in Anthony Edwards' direction, but it's hard for me not to pick Steph Curry in a series considering all I've seen and what he still is. As far as team, I mean, Minnesota, I think, enters the series trusting more of its rotations. They seem to be deeper with offensive options. You know, Naz Reid was sixth man of the year last year. Dante DiVincenzo, we've seen what he can do, you know, in a high usage bench role. Julius Randle, the way he's playing. But, you know, it's not over the top. We'll see in the series, but it doesn't seem like the Minnesota's depth is going to crush the Warriors, but you'd have to say they look like the deeper team right now.
All right, Anthony, we appreciate your time. Real quick, who wins? How many games? Come on, series prediction. I'm putting you on the spot.
Wolves in seven seems like probably, you know, although I will say this on this series, it's every other day, right, through five, which is going to be, I think, tougher on the Warriors, especially with, you know, the plane rides and the series they're coming off. If it gets to six, even if it's 3-2 Wolves, they get a three-day break before game six, and that, to me, potentially favors the Warriors. So, I'd probably say like a Wolves in seven type pick, but if this gets deep in the series and the Warriors get in Minnesota in a game seven, that's a scary proposition for Minnesota, I think.
Hey, Slates, appreciate the time, man. Good luck covering the game tonight in the series, and we'll talk to you again soon.
See you, buddy.
All right. Yeah, all right, fellas.
There he goes. That is Anthony Slater, who is in Minnesota right now for Warriors, T-Wolves, Western Conference semis tonight. And I mentioned it, all three road teams have won thus far. Can the Warriors make it 4-0 for the road teams in game one? Be interesting. That was interesting how he said that. Like, if this drags to a 6 or a 7, like, I don't know. So he's trying to say, like, basically, hey, Wolves, you better try to end this thing in 5 or fewer games. I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't. But it's interesting how he said that. He was with you, though. We were talking about it all show long. You know, best player in the series, he's still going Steph.
But I think, so, you know, while we talked to Anthony Slater, obviously he's tapped into the beat, but he wrote a really interesting article today.
He did.
You cannot talk about the Steph Curry legacy at all without them finding a diamond in the rough. even though he was the seventh or whatever player taken in the draft, the fact that Minnesota took not one, but two separate point guards in front of them adds to the lore of Steph Curry. It also adds to the pain and the misery of a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. Now, there are two kinds of people in this world. Some that, well, it didn't happen, so why talk about it? Well, because I find these things interesting. And the perspective on where you land on this is interesting. As a Warrior fan, I'm thrilled that they went Ricky Rubio, Johnny Flynn, and we selected Steph Curry. And then, even though we had Steph Curry, the Bucks could have had either Monte Ellis or Steph Curry and chose Monte Ellis in a trade.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty insane.
These are the woulda, coulda, shouldas. You cannot talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves and their bright future without talking about one of the rising stars in the game in Anthony Edwards. And the difference between taking him and maybe considering James Wiseman or trading with the Warriors, which was discussed, as was written by Anthony Slater this morning, is a part of what is into the whole entire enchilada of this particular matchup. The woulda, coulda, shoulda of, wow, Minnesota passed not once but twice on what could have been Steph Curry. Wow, the Warriors didn't even entertain trading up for Anthony Edwards. The Timberwolves didn't even consider James Wiseman. They took Anthony Edwards, a guy that the Warriors didn't really love. And look how good he is. I find that fascinating.
Well,
and they're the two premium players in this game.
I do too. And if you're from it, and I know we're not Minnesota sports talk here, but it's interesting as you break it down step by step in the history between these two teams and the Wiggins aspect, training for him and him becoming a champion, the second best player on a championship team, all of that baked into the equation. Like, there could be some exercising of major demons for Minnesota in the series if they win.
It's a good point.
You could bet, like, if I'm a Minnesota fan, I'm like, hey, we end up getting Anthony Edwards. He took out LeBron and then Steph. All right, this is our guy. He's going to take us in the future. You know, all those mistakes we made with Ricky Rubio, with Johnny Flynn, all D'Angelo Russell. All right, all has been forgiven. We knocked them out in the playoffs. They're getting older. We're young. We're in our prime. We're going to go for the future. Conversely, if the Warriors win this series, it's like, yeah, we might just be screwed. Like, yeah, we messed up not taking Steph, and we're still not going to hear the end of it. Even with Anthony Edwards, as good as he is, they got Stephen Curry. We didn't. Man, that sucks. And that could be the case. That could be the case. Steph can go night-night on another franchise here, and that would be incredible in Minnesota if it happens. Game one tonight. I can't wait for it. Like, the showmanship, and I get it. Like the Rockets, you know, they have Dylan Brooks, you know, Fred VanVleet. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is another level. When it comes to just star power and being a showman of the game, I don't think there's a better showman in the NBA right now than Anthony Edwards. He'll let you know about it. He'll get in your face. He'll go at Draymond at half court. He'll go at Jimmy Butler.
Absolutely.
He's 23. He doesn't care.
He seems to be a throwback player in an era where everyone loves each other and is AAU friendly and exchanging jerseys. He really has that 1980s, 1990s spite.
Right.
Which I truly appreciate.
He's funny. He's a funny player, too. I remember I was watching some of the games in the Lakers series where LeBron's like yelling and complaining at the refs, and Anthony Edwards just looking. He's like, you're going to tee him up? You're going to tee me all game? He's like, LeBron James is yelling at you, but I can't? Like, come on. And yes, that is the answer. Yes, if you're 40 years old. Like, Steph can get away with some stuff. Although, Steph couldn't get away with putting up a two, right? He got called for the taunting call. And that's actually going to be another layer in all this. We haven't discussed the refs.
Well, the refs is...
Is it going to be as chippy as that Rocket series? I don't know.
Sure. I think it will be. But, like, it's not just Anthony Edwards. In that 2020 draft, there were multiple trades. Mm-hmm. The Lakers took him first. Then I think it was OKC traded for him, and then Minnesota traded for him. In the 2020 draft, they got Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
Okay? And so not only did they get Anthony Edwards, they got a really, really good late first-round pick in Jaden McDaniels, who has played pretty good basketball for them over the life of his career. So that was a seminal moment in a draft for them, kind of changing the trajectory of their organization.
Well said. 888-957-9570 is the number.
Let's take it a step further. You were talking about the Andrew Wiggins thing. As a lifelong Warrior fan, not just I'm here when Steph Curry was good. What really used to piss me off, even though I rooted for